Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together so that we'll possess every part of the possession that Christ has provided for us. We're asking, Lord, that in this session, you open our eyes, open our mind, open our heart for what you have for every one of us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name, we pray. A good, good amen. God bless you. You can sit down. As we said already, this retreat is to help us, enlighten us, drive us to waking up and possessing our present possession. And the Lord is leading us to consider the life story of Abraham, so that we are the spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham, having the same redemption that Christ has provided, that we might inherit the blessings of Abraham. The Lord is leading us to go look at the glory story, and the story of glory for Abraham. This session, we're coming to the subject, the new name of circumcised Abraham. We're looking at Genesis chapter 17, reading from verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. The Lord introduced himself. Adam knew him as the Creator God. But now, the name of God revealed to Abraham is the name the Almighty God. Why that? So that Abraham will know that whatever God proposed to do in him, for him, through him, he has the might to do that, because he is not just mighty, he is almighty, and he is God that existed from all eternity and existed at that present time, to this present time, and to future eternity. And because he is God Almighty, the Almighty God, he has the might, he has the power, he has the strength to do whatever he will tell Abraham. And he prefaced his command with his name, his nature, his power, after saying, I am the Almighty God, and I can make of you whatever I intend to make of you. He now said, walk before me and be thou perfect. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, it says, neither shall thy name anymore called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham, for as a father of many nations I have made thee. He got a new name because now he was having relationship with the God of heaven, the mighty, powerful God who can do all things. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, "This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised." Then he says in verse 11, "And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant, a sign of the covenant betwixt me and you." Then in verse 26, "In the same day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son." In verse 27, "And all the men of this of his house, born in the house and bought with money, the stranger, all of them was circumcised with him." The same day that God commanded Abraham change his name, he told him the sign, the mark, the token of this covenant will be the circumcision of you, Abraham, at 99, and your child, and every child that will be born in your house, even the strangers or the servants that were bought with money, everyone will be circumcised. And you'll not be referring to yourself with the old name anymore, but a new name will you have, the new name of circumcised Abraham. Three things we're looking at in a message. Number one, the new name of Abraham after circumcision. Number two is the new nature of the adopted, the circumcised. Number three is the new nourishment for all ambassadors with circumcision. Look at number one. Number one, the new name of Abraham after circumcision. We read that already. We find that in Genesis 17, 1 through 5. Look at three things we're considering here. Number one is Abraham, the father of many nations. That's what the name interprets you. Number two is Abraham, the friend of the mighty God. Number three is Abraham, the favorite of the Most High God. Number one, Abraham, the father of many nations. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. Genesis 17, 5 and 6. "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abraham." Just a father, a great father, a high father, but localized. "But thy name shall be Abraham." No more localized, but national, nationwide, and worldwide. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And now every time somebody called his name, he knew, Father of many nations he was. His might, his vision, his focus, his planning, a direction, now will translate to the Father of many nations. His ideas will change because it's no more a localized father. He is a national, worldwide father. He changed maturity. He changed personality. He changed thoughtfulness. He changed plan. He changed the way he will have self-talk and self-realization, because the change of name changed everything. Now, a father of many nations, verse 6. In verse 6, it says, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. He had been barren, no child, but the new name conferred upon him, that he'll be fruitful exceedingly, and I will make nations of thee. That is the son that will still be born, Isaac, will multiply, multiply until many nations come of Isaac and therefore of Abraham. And it says, kings shall come out of thee. Not only one king, kings. Not only one king of a country, but kings of many nations will come through thee. God changed his name. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 7. Thou art the Lord, the God who did choose Abraham and brought him forth out of the land of the Chaldees and gavest him the name Abraham. All the descendants of Abraham, they knew a day came that his name changed in our personal lives as we follow after the steps of Abraham. We must know a day came when our names changed. Our name changed from a sinner to a sage. Our name changed from the righteous to the righteous. Our name changed from the fruitless to the fruitful, because that's actually how it meant for Abraham. Verse 8. In verse 8, and it says, you found his heart faithful before thee. You found his heart faithful before thee and made a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanites and all the rest of them. At Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. In Genesis 22, verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Verse 16, it says, and said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and has not withheld thy son, thine only son, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee. Amen. Obedience always carries blessing. He had been blessed, pronounced. The blessing was pronounced. And now the pronounced blessing was going to become a performed blessing. That really and truly what had been promised will now be performed. That in reality, in blessing, will I bless thee, I will multiply thee as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. What a promise. The change of name also brought victory, that in every battle he will conquer, and him and his sons will possess the gates of their enemies. You'll possess the gates of your enemies. I have some scattered amen coming from here and there. Amen. You will possess. It's not what you are today that you'll be tomorrow. You'll be greater, deeper, broader. It's not where you have been, you will always be. You'll go higher. And even the gates of your enemies, you possess in Jesus' name. In verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Well, Abraham was limited in the places he got to. Even after the Lord had spoken to him, and the Lord said, in your children, in your sons, you will go where you have never gone. In your child, in your son, in your daughter, you will go where you have never gone. The blessing the Lord was giving to Abraham will spread all through to his children. And as the Lord wanted him, ordained him, that he will bless all the families of the earth. The children that came out of him, they went everywhere. Now Abraham is known everywhere. You go beyond your locality. You go beyond your community. You go beyond your country. And through your sons and your daughters, your feet will reach everywhere in Jesus' name. Abraham, the father of many nations. Number two, Abraham, the friend of the mighty God. In Isaiah chapter 41, we're looking at verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. God called him friend, a father, a friend of the mighty God. Then he tells us in verse 9, it says, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. You will not be a castaway. I will not be a castaway. You came into the kingdom through Jesus Christ. In that kingdom, you will ever remain. Your blessings will meet you there. The goodness of the Lord will meet you there. All the promises he has given will meet you there. You will not be a castaway. Verse 10. In verse 10, it says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Is God with you? When sickness comes, is God still with you? When there is anxiety, palpitation of the heart, is God still there with you? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. The Almighty says, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, yes. I will help thee. Yea, yes. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It will do that in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. John chapter 15, we're reading from verse 13. God the Father spoke to Abraham, who was Abraham now, God the Son, and he said, I and my Father are one. Christ the mighty one, Christ the wonderful, Christ the Prince of Peace, Christ the power of God in man. Here Christ is talking now. John chapter 15 verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Abraham, friend of God. You and I, friends of Christ. Verse 14. In verse 14, ye are my friends. While here on earth, ye are my friends. While ascending to heaven, ye are still my friends. While seated on the right hand of majesty on high, ye are still my friend. You remember Abraham? Genesis 17, God changed his name. And then he became so close to God. And God said, I will not do anything. I must tell Abraham. By the time you get to Nehemiah, by the time you get to 2 Chronicles, Abraham was still referred to as God's friend. And as you get to Isaiah, he's still referred to as God's friend. And while Jesus was on earth, while Jesus was on the cross, while Jesus rose from the dead, what Jesus is now at the right hand of majesty on high, we believers are still the friends of Christ. I am his friend. I am his friend. He called me friend. He calls you friend. Look at that verse 14. It says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. The change of Abraham's name came with the command, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. And as Abraham rose up to that, as Abraham obeyed that and he rearranged and restructured and refined and reformed things around him so he could remain perfect in the sight of God. God says, I am your friend, you are my friend, and we have covenant together. And Jesus said, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15. In verse 15, it says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Number one, Abraham the father. Number two, Abraham the friend. Number three, Abraham the faith, the favorite of the Most High God. In chapter 20 of Genesis, we're reading from verse 7. Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. God was talking to Abimelech about Abraham, because chapter 17, the name had changed, not Abram, but Abraham now. And Abimelech saw the wife of Abraham, and he thought this could be a good addition to his already large family. And Abraham didn't have anybody to contest for him, to speak for him. No long leg, no person that could say, no, you cannot do that. He didn't have anybody to defend him or defend his wife. But the Lord defended him. The Lord will defend you. Yeah. When there's no man that could help you, and he take the most precious thing you have away from you, that most precious thing, the God, is coming back to you. You will recover. Every lost thing that you had, that you had lost, in Jesus' name. But I don't have any money to win the case against them. You have no case, you have won already. And so God said, for he is a prophet and shall pray for thee. You know, even Sarah didn't know that Abraham had now been put in the records of prophets in heaven. Lot did not know that Abraham is now regarded as a prophet before God, the God of heaven. Neither did Abimelech. He did not know that Abraham was a prophet of God now. With the new name, a new authority came. With the new name, a new title also came. And what you didn't know, you are, you will be. You didn't hear that one. I said, what you didn't know, what your friends did not know, what your fellow brothers and sisters did not know you are, you will be in Jesus' name. And thou shalt live, because he'll pray for you, he's a prophet. And then he says, if thou restore her not, then know thou that thou shalt surely die. Why? Because Abimelech took what preciously belonged to the friend of God. And Abraham, the friend of God, could not defend himself, but God defended him. He'll defend you in the dream. He'll defend you in the day. Everywhere you go, you have the change of name. You belong to God now. God is watching over all the promises he has given you. They will be performed. Has God given you any promise? It appears it's not been done. You know, all this time, this is Genesis chapter 20. And Isaac had not been born. Isaac was waiting for chapter 21. But before the promise was born, before the promised child was born, Abimelech took Sarah so that it will take also the promise away. Your promise will not be taken away. It says, if you don't restore her, you will surely die and all that are thine. That's how Abimelech woke up early in the morning, and then he restored Abraham's wife, restored Sarah. Not only that, he gave Abraham, he said, I didn't know you are such highly placed personality, friend of God. God spoke to me about you, that you are his prophet, and he gave him men servants, women servants, cattle, gave him many things. And Abimelech said, I give back your wife. Not only that, the whole land belongs to you. The Lord is going to give you more than they have taken away from you. In Psalm 105, reading from verse 42, Psalm 105, verse 42, for he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. Every time the Lord dealt with Israel, he remembered Abraham. And you have now come into the kingdom through the covenant we made with Christ. Every time you have a challenge, God will remember Christ for you. What he has done for you, what he has prepared for you. And every time that Christ is remembered, when you pray, your prayer may not be too loud, may not be too strong, but as you pray, God remembers Christ and he answers your prayer. When you have a desire, according to the word of God, you may not be able to carry the desire out, but Christ will be remembered concerning you. And so life is going to become better. Better. Higher. Greater. Because the Father will always remember his only begotten Son for you. We're coming to point number two. Point number two, the new nature of the adopted, the circumcised. You see, Abraham was circumcised in the flesh, and that carried the covenant. Now, all that followed Abraham, his natural sons and daughters, and the spiritual sons and daughters, the circumcision we carry is not just in the flesh. The circumcision we carry is in the heart. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're reading from verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. In the case of Abraham, he circumcised his son, circumcised the servant, and he too was circumcised. It was done by man, but this circumcision will be done by God. The Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. The Jews were the seed of Abraham. The Gentiles by faith will also become the seed of Abraham. And the promise of God, the plan of God, the prophecy from God is that his seed, Jews and Gentiles, shall be circumcised and to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and that thou mayest live. The result of the circumcision of heart is that we love God with all our heart, love God beyond anything on earth, love God consistently, permanently, preeminently, and we love God, preferring God above everything on earth. Look at three things here under the new nature. Number one, the children of God with new life. Number two, the circumcision of God with a new heart. Number three, the character of godliness with a new nature. Number one. Number one is we have the children of God with new life. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is involved in our regeneration, in our recreation, in our restoration to becoming the children of God. And he does not leave us alone after regeneration, after restoration, after the renewal, reformation. The Holy Ghost stays with us. He lives within us, and he leads and he guides and he speaks to us. What a privilege we have. You cannot have the counselor, the comforter of this world, the guidance, the counselor in flesh. You cannot have them with you every time. But we're sons of God. We're adopted into the family of God. He even circumcises our heart. And now we have that Spirit of God guiding us and leading us every time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, any man, any woman be in Christ, anyone in Christ here this day, by faith, by repentance, by believing on the Lord. Anyone in Christ there? Amen.
Amen.
Say amen for yourself.
Amen.
And since you are in Christ, you are a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. How about that? The old things that God Himself takes away. The old guilt, the old condemnation, the old powerlessness, the old weaknesses. God has taken them away from your life, from my life, from our lives in Jesus' name. Old things pass away. God does that. There are old things that you take away by yourself. Old garment, you take that away yourself. Torn, dirty, tattered garment, you take that away by yourself. Now, you become bigger in size, and that old garment that is not fitting anymore for you, you have to throw that aside by yourself on the side of God. Old things that He knows will hinder our progress in the faith, He takes them away. And then we ourselves, the things we know will hinder a fellowship with God, a relationship with God, we take them away. And when there is a double taking away, now you are new. I am new. Your heart is new. Your spirit is new. Your self-talk inside you, new. The path you take, everything is now new. Am I talking about you? Tell the person by your side, I am a new creature. My life is now new. I have the new life. Then He said, behold, all things are become new. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Even the old dreams, they used to pursue you. That sin will not pursue you anymore. The old fears, no. All that now is taken away. New life of love. New life of confidence in God. That's why it says in verse 18. In verse 18, and all things are of God. All things in your life now, nothing of the devil. Who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I am reconciled with God. And it says now, you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. In verse 19, to wit, that is to say, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Then it says, not imputing their trespasses, transgressions unto them. They will not know until you go and tell them. You now have the ministry of reconciliation, and you're telling every sinner, come. Through Christ, you can be totally reconciled unto God. And it says, He has now committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. In verse 20, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. You are reconciled and you become a minister of reconciliation. Amen.
Amen.
We're looking at number two here. Number two, the circumcision of God with a new heart. He is the one that now performs the circumcision upon our heart. In your heart, in my heart. In Jeremiah chapter 32, reading from verse 17, Jeremiah 32 verse 17, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretch out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. The circumcision of heart, nothing too hard for him. Look at verse 27. In verse 27, we are assured, God himself said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Give an answer to that. Nothing in your life is too hard for him. Don't ever look at, you know, that mountain of weakness, that mountain of a rigid habit there, and say, what can I do? Well, even if you cannot do anything, God will do something about it. Lean on him. Trust him. It will change everything that needs to be changed in your life. He must, listen, he must configure you for heaven. Will you get to heaven? He will do everything that needs to be done. Configure you, conform you, change everything. Thank God, you will be there. I will be there. Say that again. Look at verse 39. In verse 39, here is what it says. It says, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. And it says, for the good of them. For the good of them. Goodness and mercy will always follow you now. And of their children after them. I will give them one heart. The same heart he gave to Abraham, he will give unto you. The same heart he gave to Enoch, he will give unto you. You will receive. I receive. The same heart he gave to Paul, gave to John, gave to Peter. Lovest thou me more than this? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. The heart that loves him above and beyond everything on earth, that heart he will give unto you. Verse 40, in verse 40, it says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. that I will not turn away from them. And it says to do them good, but I will put my fear in them, in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. The heart that will not backslide, no matter what the devil may be showing you, I will give you this, I'll give you this. Get thee behind me. I have the heart that will not turn away from God. I say that. Have the heart. Say it well. That will not turn away from God. And I have the faith that God will not turn away from me. Confirmed in Jesus' name. Ezekiel chapter 11. We're reading from verse 19. Ezekiel 11, 19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh. Somebody must say amen to that. Look at number three. Number three is the character of godliness with new nature. A new nature. Second Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 3. In Second Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 3, according as his divine power. The divine power does knows no failure. When God intends to do something, that divine power gets it done. And everything God aims at doing in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, in your body, in your life in general, everything God plans to do in your life will be done. Nothing will stop him. The power of God will be unstoppable in your life. Irresistible in your life, because according as his divine power, he has given unto us. How many things there? In your Bible, how many things there? In your life, how many things there? In your family, how many things there? In your ministerial assignment for God, how many things there? He has given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. Then it says, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. He has called you to glory. No shame. No shame. Nothing will hear and then they say, okay, I thought the man, I thought the woman was good and glorious, but now I changed my mind. No. Everything inglorious in your life, he'll take everything away. Now he calls you to glory and virtue. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. What kind of nature do you have now? What kind of nature do you have now? The Lord confirm that in your life in Jesus' name. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. We're coming now to point number three. Point number three, we're looking at the new nourishment for all ambassadors with circumcision. He circumcised us. He cleansed us. He sanctified us. He took depravity and imperfection away from us. And now he feeds us. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these, things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast already attained. Nourished up. The Lord will nourish you. You'll not be a kind of, so lean spiritually, so weak spiritually, so anemic spiritually, that people say, oh, what was happening to you? Good things will happen to you. You'll be nourished in the Word, and nourished with His wonders, and nourished in the will, in the path He has directed you to walk. Three things. Number one is our daily food, which is God's word. Number two is our delightsome feeding on God's word. Number three is our developing faith through God's word. Number one is the daily food, God's word. Daily food, God's word. Matthew chapter 4, we're looking at verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Bread, that's what feeds a body. But you know, what we take in the afternoon is different from what we take in the morning. What we take in the evening is different from what we take in the afternoon. And you know, the variety, the balanced diet, just to take care of the body. The same thing, what proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Where do I find that? From Genesis even chapter 1. Let there be proceeding out of the mouth of God. And let us make man proceeding out of the mouth of God. It is not good that the man should be alone, proceeding out of the mouth of God. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and her seed shall bruise thy head, proceeding out of the mouth of God. Is there anything too hard for me? Proceeding out of the mouth of God. Fear not, Jacob. Go down there. You will see Joseph face to face before you die. Proceeding out of the mouth of God. For all the land you see, I will give unto you. All in Genesis, proceeding out of the mouth of God. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy was proceeding out of the mouth of God. Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, and 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, and 2 Kings, and 2 Chronicles, proceeding out of the mouth of God. My covenant will I not change, in the Psalms, proceeding out of the mouth of God. The words proceeding out of the mouth of God. You come to the New Testament, there's still the words proceeding out of the mouth of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Proceeding out of the mouth of God. Paul, fear not, because as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, you testify of me in Rome. Words proceeding out of the mouth of God from the beginning of the Holy Bible to the end. The words that God has given us, and man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You have the Bible there in your hand. Let that Bible nourish you. You'll be nourished. It will drive all your fears away. It will drive darkness away. It will drive every negative power away from your life in Jesus' name. You read the word. You understand the word. You pray that the Spirit of God will interpret it and apply it to your life, and that the grace and the strength and the power contained in the word will flow into your life in Jesus' name. And as you believe in his word, it reminds you, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Thank God, the Spirit to continue is ready in your heart. The decision to continue is ready in your heart. You will continue until the member will become a minister. Until the minister will become a missionary. Until the child of God will become a friend of Christ. Until the friend of Christ will be the prophet of God. As you take that word, eat that word, day by day, you will grow. I said you will grow. You will become a giant in the kingdom of God. And when we look at the whole land, we look at Africa, we look at the rest of the world, we say there are giants in every land. You will be one of them. Number two, we're looking at our delightsome feeding on God's word. We delight in that. We take every meal time a joyful time. In Job chapter 23, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Necessary food, food is necessary for the growth of the body. And even as we're getting older and older and older, we never stop eating. Am I right? And as we're getting older and older in the Lord, we never stop taking the word of God. I have esteemed the words of his lips, of his mouth, more than my necessary food. The Lord make that the habit of everyone in Jesus' name. Jeremiah chapter 15, reading from verse 16, it says that thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Coming to number three here. Number three is our developing faith through God's word. Your faith will grow. Say, my faith will grow. Say it well. Moses' faith grew to the point he could bring water out of the rock. Joshua's faith grew to the point that he could stop the sun and the moon. And Elijah's faith grew that boy of the child that died, and the mother said, what has this happened to me as you are here with me? His faith grew and he said, give me your child. Life came back to the life, to the body of that child. Growing faith. Elisha's faith grew to the point that when he was dead and buried, but he had not covered the grave, they threw a dead man there, that dead person came alive. It's somebody who is dead in soul, in spirit. When your body touches their body, life, eternal life, will spark up in Jesus' name. The faith of David grew to the point that he did not fear the bragging and the cursing of Goliath. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. David, by faith, conquered him. The faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego grew. They passed through the fire. They came out again. Your faith will grow. And all the fire you may pass through, nothing will consume you. Nothing will consume the confidence you have in the Lord in Jesus' name. The faith of Daniel grew. He spent a night in the lion's den, and he came out and he lost nothing. You pass through this world, you go through the streets, you go through the road, everywhere you go, your faith will grow to the level that nothing will harm you. Nothing will hurt you. Nothing will remove all the blessings you are storing up in your heart in this possession retreat in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh. Faith cometh. Faith is coming to you. Greater faith is coming to you. Higher faith is coming to you. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You are nourished in the word, and your faith will grow. Your faith is already growing and developing in Jesus' name. Amen. Rise up now and allow that faith to grow more and more and more. Tell the Lord everything you've heard is for you, is sent to you so that you have a new name. New name in Christ. New name through Christ. Abram, no Abraham. Jacob, no Israel. New name. New nature, a godly nature, righteous nature. God gives, you receive. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. He changes your name. Now the father of many nations. Now the friend of the mighty God. Now the favorite of the Most High. What you didn't know, you are now. You know your heart. The title you didn't know, you possess now. You know you possess. Favorite of God, friend of Christ. And whatever he has heard from the Father, now he reveals that to you, children of God. And you have the Spirit of God in you, guiding you and leading you. He will not lead you astray. Thank him for that and believe him for that. You are his and he is yours. And everything Christ provided at Calvary, now you have. You present your heart to him to circumcise your heart. You can do that in a moment of time. And he gives you one heart to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And he gives you one heart, one heart, one heart. The same kind of heart he gave to Abraham, to Moses, to David. A man after my own heart. Same kind of heart he gave to Jeremiah, he gave to Ezekiel, telling he wants to do that. He rejoices in doing that. Circumcision of heart by God. And the character of godliness. Godliness in the day. Godliness in the night. Godliness everywhere. You carry the nature of godliness with you. And you love the word of God, your daily food, that you live by every word of promise, every word of precept, every word of faith, every word the word of salvation, every word of victory, every word of triumph, every word of prophecy. You live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You are nourished thereby daily. You count it a delight to reach the word, hear the word, believe the word, act on the word. And this is the word that will develop you. From now, you'll grow faster. From now, you'll grow stronger. From now, you'll grow more spiritually. This is your time, a great time for you. The Lord answer all your prayers. The Lord confirm his goodness upon your life. And the Lord put in place everything we've heard performed in your life in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for what you have done. We thank you because your hand, your might, your strength, your grace, your unction is upon every one of your sons and daughters in Jesus' name. From this moment, everything you have done in their heart, in their life, in their character will become visible for everybody to see in Jesus' name. Blessings in their personal life, blessings in their family lives, blessing in their locality, and blessing beyond their local church or community. Confirm everyone a child of blessing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.